love to ask you about what you've learned about creativity and art in society through your investigations.
You can start with the easy questions first.
Like, art is could art be a saviour for us? Yeah. I want to ask about meditation as well in a moment.
I think art is vital for human beings, and I think it's impossible to separate art from the rest of our lives, although we may not always recognize art when we see it. What I know is that we are changed in the presence of beauty. A lot of people don't openly acknowledge that or consciously acknowledge that, but when we see something that elicits a feeling, that feeling, what we used to say, oh, it's just a feeling, is actually a chemical shift in our bodies that is reverberating on a lot of different levels. So the first is the perception. We have a shift in the perception in the presence of beauty. It doesn't have to be man-made art. It can be the art of the cosmos. It can be looking into the stars at night. It can be looking at a snow-covered peak in a glistening sun-bathed afternoon. It's whatever we perceive as beauty. And when we have that shift, it literally... it is a shift in the emotions within our hearts. Now, the reason this is important is we were conditioned to believe that the brain is the master organ in the body. And the brain's important, we know that. But what we know is that the instructions that tell the brain what to do come from the heart, many of the instructions, not 100%, but over 90%. So the heart, in many respects, is calling the shots for the chemistry the brain releases into the body. So in the presence of beauty, when we feel different, that chemical shift literally can be a healing. And we hear stories about this all the time. It seems miraculous. We call these miraculous healings. They're only miraculous until we understand how they work, and then they become a technology. And our ancestors used this technology. Science originated about 300 years ago and discounted the technology because it couldn't be measured. Now the science is coming full circle and catching up with the experiences that we already have in our lives, and saying that when the way we feel produces this chemical shift, and it can actually be healing. And we hear stories all the time, and I was just reading an amazing story. There was a man in Italy who's diagnosed terminal cancer. They said he didn't have long to live. He said, I might as well go and spend all my money and, you know, do the things I want to do. So he went to some island. He grew grapes to make his own wine, like 10 bottles a year or whatever it was. He woke up every morning in the presence of beauty. The ocean was right there. He enjoyed what he was doing. He didn't have the stress and the worry of his life. And all of a sudden, he didn't have cancer anymore. And he ended up, this is now 30 years on, he's writing this story. And all that happened was he changed the way that he felt. He wasn't doing any kind of, radiation or chemotherapy or anything like that. So For you and I, we say, well, sure, intuitively that makes perfect sense. For a medical doctor, they say it's either he had a false reading, or it's called a miracle, and a miracle is something by definition that can't be explained. It's only a miracle until we understand how it works. Then it becomes the technology, and I think this is the key. So it's a long answer to a short question.
Which brings me to my next question. Why is the inner technology that we have and that appears to be such a strong force so hidden, and people find it difficult to accept that this is so powerful?
Yeah, it's not really hidden at all. It's always there. In the industrialized world, it has been discounted. We are steeped, when I say we, if we were educated in the Western world, in the modern world, I went to school in the 50s and 60s, so it's a long time ago, and I was told a story about myself and my relationship to the world, and that story is largely the same that we're teaching our young people today. And it's a story based upon separation, competition, conflict, insignificance. We're taught that we're these insignificant beings in the world, powerless, largely powerless, certainly over our own bodies, certainly when it comes to the world around us. And you've heard the saying, when a story is told often enough, we begin to believe it becomes true, whether it's true or not. So we have been taught that we live in this dog-eat-dog world of separation, competition, conflict, insignificance, powerlessness, and helplessness. And many people believe that. I have been blessed to be in parts of the world in my journeys where people were not led to believe those things. And it's in those parts of the world where cancers don't exist. There is no breast cancer. There is no uterine cancer. There is no prostate cancer. And there's no Alzheimer's. When people get old, they are sharp as a tack, whether they're, you know, 80 or 100, 120. I was with a 120-year-old nun in Tibet, and very lucid. I mean, I thought maybe she was in her 80s. And it wasn't until after the conversation, my guide asked me, he said, the question, he said, how did you enjoy? Can I just tell you the story? I'm beating around the bush.
Love to hear it.
So there was a period in time when I was taking groups into Tibet on a frequent basis. That window has closed. We can't do that any longer. So one of the last trips we were there, we were walking. I was with my group, and we were walking at the side of a mountain toward a temple. And this nun really caught my eye because she was about the size of my mom. And my mom is about 4 feet, 8 inches tall. She comes to take care of me. And my Tibetan is terrible, so the translator was with us, and she was telling me all about the history of this place. And I mean, about the people and the culture and, you know, earthquakes and, I mean, everything. And we got to the temple. She went inside, and my guide said, did you enjoy your conversation with the Geshe, is what he called her. And usually that is reserved for men only. Great teacher is what a Geshe means. It's changing, but in Tibetan Buddhism, it's usually men. He said, did you enjoy your conversation with the Geshe? And I said, yeah. I said, she told me this story like nobody else can. It's almost like she was here. And he said, well, she should know the history because she lived it. And I said, no. I said, but she was telling me things that happened over a century ago. And he said, I know. He said, how old do you think she is? And I said, 80s? He said, guess again. And I said, I don't know. I was there in 2008. She was born in 1888. So, and we saw her papers. They showed us her papers. So I wanted to know. I said, what do you attribute your longevity to and your clarity? And her skin color was good. Her eyes were good. You know, I mean, she was very, very vital. And she laughed at me, and she says, what do you think she went like this with her arms. She goes, what do you think we teach in this place? It's about compassion. And compassion is an experience that links the heart and the brain together. And it is that union that is that medical science is now beginning to realize is missing in part of our worldview. That is the link to longevity, powerful immune response, deep intuition on demand, a hotline to the subconscious, resilience to change, 1,300 positive biochemical reactions in the human body, all of these things from a single act of harmonizing the heart and the brain in a way that's been discounted in the West, but that many ancient indigenous people have done for a long time. So I wrote about this. There's a book called Resilience from the Heart that was released in 2015. It just won a gold Nautilus Award last week. So I just found out when I was leaving.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I describe it in there, but it's kind of a long answer to a short question, mm-hmm. but the key is these abilities have always been with us. Mm-hmm. So what we have considered as extraordinary abilities relegated to monks and nuns and yogis and curanderos in the past, and shamans, I feel are actually ordinary abilities that we all have. Mm-hmm. Every one of us has them. And as we learn to acknowledge and embrace and then awaken them, we become better people. We have stronger families, a better society, and actually create a better world. Mm-hmm. And in a time when the world is changing the way it is, mm-hmm. this is vital because we feel more connected with ourselves and with the world mm-hmm. and less separate. Mm-hmm. So I think it's quite important.
What do you think about the waking up aspect? How much that is actually happening? It's difficult to tell with.
You know, I have a different, little bit different. I think everybody's already awake.
Yeah.
Everyone's awake. Mm-hmm. My sense is that we awaken to the degree that our circumstances call for. And you and I are blessed right now. We have the luxury of sitting in this beautiful hotel, having this conversation, and some of our brothers and sisters are struggling to get through the end of the day, and some of them won't make it. Some of our family won't make it through the end of this day. They don't have time to sit and contemplate the kinds of things that we're doing. So we are very blessed in that way. The beauty and the symmetry that I see is that when a few of us can dedicate our lives to understanding these things, the whole benefits to some degree, because we begin to create a world where we care for other people. So I think, I just want to wrap up, I think the beauty of, I think there is a balance and a symmetry that's coming full circle, in that the science that led us to believe that we are separate and powerless and helpless is now, through its own discoveries, coming to the understanding that we're actually deeply connected, deeply empowered. And we have the ability to influence the outcome, not control or manipulate, but we can influence the outcome of what happens in our bodies and our lives, to some degree in our society and in our world, in ways that we never thought in the past. And it's all happening at the time when the world has reached a convergence point of unsustainability, where we've got to make new choices. So now, because we need the new choices, we have new information, as we hopefully won't make the same old choices, because we've got new information to draw from. So, yeah. So,
brilliant.
So you were asking then about...
I'd like to know about creativity and the function of that, and how that maps into the human condition, and why it's important, or if indeed...
Well, creativity is all about expression, and we all need to express. Everyone needs to express in some form. Creativity is one way that we can go about doing that. And the question is, do we put our heartfelt expression and our creativity into something positive in our lives? And this is where I think, when we understand our relationship to ourselves and the world, we strive to do that. If we don't have that understanding, sometimes the creativity comes about in ways that actually separate us from the world, and we would call it negative ways. We're still creating, but maybe not in ways... In every moment of every day, we're either affirming or denying life. And when we understand ourselves and our relationship to the world on the deep levels that are now being revealed, our creativity tends to affirm life in our bodies and life in the world. We make choices to preserve the things that we love and that we cherish. And without those understandings, we live in a world where we haven't had that. So that's what's happening. When destroying the oceans, you know, destroying the forest, destroying the world, destroying other forms of life, destroying ourselves, endless war, humanitarian crises, those are all the result of, I think, of generations being taught that we are insignificant, powerless, separate, and our economy and our society is based upon those ideas, those ways of thinking. So, and that's all changing. We live in a time now when it's all changing. It's the good news.
Is it changing fast enough?
I think the change is happening the only way that it can happen.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. It's, I mean, would I like to see it happen faster? Of course. And I think we've had that opportunity, but I trust in the timing. I think there is a divine timing that's unfolding. It's like, I think what we'll see, it's like when the wall came down in Berlin. Some people, it happened overnight. Well, the conditions leading to it had been happening for a long time, but people didn't recognize it, and all of a sudden, boom, there it was. And I think that's what's happening. The conditions, the groundswell of change has been happening in the world, you know, for, you know, decades now. And I know there are a lot of people that think something really the world is moving quickly towards something bad. You know, a big war, a big pandemic, you know, something will happen. And it's certainly a possibility, and I think we'll get close. But I don't think that will happen, because what I sense right now, what I'm seeing happening behind the scenes, I'm encouraged by what I see happening behind the scenes, publicly, privately, and just in my own research, is that there's this, a new world is emerging, and it's happening faster than anyone had expected it to happen. You know,
in the ancient texts, do they? It, what is? How does that relate? Does that?
Well, you know, before 2012, I had the opportunity. I've been very blessed. I've had the opportunity to meet an American president and world leaders and spiritual leaders and scientists and engineers and religious leaders and indigenous leaders from all over the world. And before 2012, all of them, you know, they were all very clear that we're living this time of change, and everyone knew it was coming. And the ones I've spoken to after 2012, even the ones that knew it was coming, are blown away by how fast that this change is sweeping the earth. They said, we thought it would take a few generations. They never imagined it would happen, you know, as quickly as it's happening right now. So, so even the people that knew the change was coming are surprised at how quickly it's unfolding.
And did the ancient texts kind of point to anything around that speed of frequency shift?
Depends on which texts you're talking about. A lot of them, point to a convergence time, and it's hard, you know, in a text to put it at an exact date on when something is going to happen. But what's happening right now is we're living a convergence of three primary cycles that are driving the change. There's climate cycles that a lot of people know about, economic cycles some people know about, and there are what are called cycles of human conflict that very few people have studied and know about, but it is a conflict that doesn't just happen. It is a rhythmic, it ebbs and it flows on a rhythmic basis, largely linked to solar cycles, believe it or not. When the solar cycles, when the magnetic fields are very strong, humans are less aggressive and more cooperative. And when those cycles are weak, we become much more aggressive. And you can plot the beginnings and the endings of major wars. You know, I've done that in the book. It's called Resilience from the Heart. You can see it in there. So any one of those three cycles would be enough to bring about a lot of change. The fact that all three are converging right now, we've never seen this happen before, but that is the driver for change. So when people see that, they say, oh my God, you know, no wonder the world looks a little crazy. It is. And it is because we're living something we've never lived before. The good news is the only things that are breaking down in the convergence are the things that are not sustainable. So things that work tend to work really well, and the unsustainable things are such as the economy, energy, the way we share food, the way we share resources, the way we share problems between nations or solve problems between nations. Those things from the past that may have served us in the past are not working any longer because they're unsustainable. And that, to me, is the good news. It means there's an opening for new ideas. And there is a willingness to look at new ideas now in a way that we haven't seen in the past. So I've never been more optimistic.
Amazing.
About my country, your country, all countries. And I'm also a realist. It takes a lot of work to create the kind of change that we're looking at. And when it... Can I just share a quick story?
Please.
I'll say it this way. My father left my home when I was 10. I lied about my age and went to work early. We needed money. I worked in a copper mill, copper factory, and made good money. And my mom gave me a book at that time that influenced my life tremendously. It was by a man called the Prophet Khalil Gibran. The name of the book was The Prophet. And every chapter of the book was about a page or page and a half. You know, and you'd read it, and I'd read it and think about it, you know, for days. And when it came to work, there was a chapter in there about work and what Khalil Gibran said. He said, work is love made visible. Work is love made visible. And that meant a lot to me. And every job I've had, ever had, I mean, from copper mills and loading boxcars and baling hay and fences and to work in the defense industry to what I'm doing now, it takes a lot of work. And I've always thought of this is my love made visible, and that means if I'm going to do it really well, because I think I'm worth it, and I think the job is worth it. So the things we're talking about when it comes to this change, it takes a lot of work for people to make that kind of change, to think differently. And I think we're worth it, and I think our planet's worth it. And what we're ultimately doing is we're all working. It's our love made visible.
Yeah.
And I think we're waking up to that. Yeah. So I don't think I could say any more than that. I mean, my voice is going to go.
Well, thank you. You're so generous. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's joyful. It's joyful to kind of feel the vibe of where, I mean, I've watched lots of things with you, but to actually feel where you're coming from is just gorgeous.
Well, so thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.